Now, Jim, you're a damn liar. Now, let's get real.
David.
You listen to me. You're sitting there and telling me that there were no guns on that helicopter?
I said they didn't shoot. There's no guns
shot. You are a damn liar.
Oh, you're wrong, David.
You are a liar.
Okay. Well, just calm down.
And, you know, let me tell you something. That may be what you might want the media to believe. But there's other people that fall, too. Now, tell me, Jim, again. You're honestly going to say those helicopters didn't fire on any of us?
David?
I'm here.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that those helicopters did not have mounted guns, okay? I'm not disputing the fact that there might have been fire from the helicopters. What I'm telling you is there was no mounted guns, you know, outside mounted guns on those helicopters.
I agree with you on that.
All right, now that's the only thing I'm saying. Now, the agents on the helicopters had guns.
I agree with you
okay.
on that.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, no. What the dispute was over, I believe, Jim, is that you said that they didn't fire on us from the helicopter.
Well, what I mean is a mounted gun.
Yeah, but beside the point, what they did have was machine guns.
Okay, I don't know what they had. They were armed. The people inside had pistols or
we agree
rifles.
Then.
Okay, all right, that's good.
Hello and welcome to History on the Dark Side. How's it going, guys?
Good. So good.
We have the all-star Waco cast back again.
Woo-hoo.
So it's been a minute. And for all four of our loyal listeners, you know, some things are different. If you get the chance to pull up the YouTube when I get that up, we have our brand new studio. So this would be Pottawatomie Studios number 3.
Is that the name?
Pottawatomie Studios.
I didn't know that was the studio.
That's where John Brown killed everybody. So it's a place special to my heart.
Gotcha. Oh, I thought it was a Star Wars joke.
I thought this was a Star Wars reference.
No. That one's John Brown. So.
Of course it's John Brown.
It fits the channel, though, that it's kind of both.
Maybe so, Star Wars with the idea from John Brown.
Right?
Maybe.
We did learn that, you know, I was telling Jake the other day that Star Wars definitely ripped off some Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
That's another episode.
Yeah. I had no idea.
It's pretty crazy.
He's like, hey, the Nazis got that idea from Star. I went, no, that's backwards.
Yep.
Crazy, man.
I mean, it makes sense why Walt Disney bought it out.
Right?
Sorry.
So here we are in Idaho Falls in the new studio.
Yep.
And finally, we're going to tie up some loose ends on Waco because this has been our longest podcast series topic ever.
And I wasn't even here for all of it.
No, weren't you here for all of Waco or did you miss the first one?
I missed the first one.
Okay.
And then you asked me to join.
Oh, well, my bad.
Yeah.
So we're back again. And when we left off, oh crap, stuff was on fire. I think we went all through the siege and stuff had burned down.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I guess before we dive in, does anybody need to give a, you know, happy shout out to anyone? Is there something you just got to share? Or are we in good shape?
I mean, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to announce that, man, I applied for another college gig, and I'm not going to say where because I might not get it, and then I'd feel stupid, but I got a good feeling about it. So I'm crossing the fingers to pick up this new college gig.
That's awesome. Heck good yeah. For you.
And also, since we last got together, I'm going back to school. I start Monday.
Nerd.
Monday. Mid-semester?
No, come on, man.
What?
These schools, they adapt. They have these 8-week starts. So I'll be trying to step up from lowly Professor Andrus to Dr. Andrus. That's the goal.
And then people can only refer to you by Dr. Andrus.
And I
if anyone doesn't call you doctor, you reserve the right to open a can of whoop ass.
Yeah.
I do. Maybe a case. The real pressure is the daughter. You know, Katie wants to be a doctor, and then she'd be Dr. Anderson. I'm not having that, okay? I'm not getting outranked by my daughter.
Yeah. So just do it first, and...
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to be a real doctor.
Dr. Anderson the second.
Yeah. She's going to be like... try and do some surgery on people, and I'm just going to be like, hey, did you know that have Star you... Wars and the Nazis...
Have you heard about John Brown?
So it does vibe a little different. All right. Well, let's jump into the Waco. I guess we should start with in the actual aftermath, okay? So when this fire starts and every fire truck in Texas is 2 miles away... and not one of them is allowed to move. That's not great.
No.
Yeah. No help, no assistance.
Nothing
for
at all.
Any of the actual, like, living, breathing human beings and
right?
children
yeah.
inside of the burning building.
Yeah.
So just no help for them because the
FBI,
was that the FBI right?
And wrong and bad.
Well, yeah,
because no,
they've
got to protect
the firefighters to get hurt.
Right. And
by all the bullets that are being shot by the burned and dead people.
Yeah. You know, I just taught this week my 9/11 lesson, which is interesting because he's, you know, when I teach it at high school, they weren't born yet. So it's all kind of a different vibe.
Born, yeah.
Holy cow, you're such a kid. Anyway.
Still taller than you.
Oh, that was painful. You know what? When I'm a doctor, you're first on the list to have to call me that.
All right, that's fine. I'll call you doctor.
But
don't make fun of your height again. Sorry.
I'm getting elevator shoes. One of the things that really I try and push and make these kids understand is, you know, there's this point where that first tower falls and people know there's a ton of firemen in there and that's their buddies. And people are still choosing to go up into the second tower to try and save who they can. And I really think, you know, I know, hey, is there a possibility that people who shot at the ATF a month ago, almost 2 months ago, might shoot at a fireman when their place is burning down? I guess.
Maybe.
But I feel like most firemen, when you're like, hey, there's women and little kids in there, let's try and save them. I imagine they would go because that's what firemen do.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I guess firefighters would be the appropriate thing. I'm willing to bet in 93 it was all firemen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sad that no one got the chance to be that hero.
Yeah, literally, like, how long did it take for them to actually let people onto the scene? Like, it was a few hours.
Yeah, it was hours later. The building's gone. Stuff's still smoldering.
Yeah, they were waiting for the place to cool off.
Yeah. And which takes us right to the next thing, right? Like, okay, you won't let the fireman on because it's too dangerous. The thing burns to the ground. But mysteriously, once it burns to the ground, we're okay moving certain items around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you're not looking for any survivors, because, well, there's none, now it's a crime scene, or it should be. But the level of security you have with that crime scene, that's not real. That did not happen the way you would expect. Such a well-known, everybody's been watching crime scene, and almost immediately people are walking around, like,
picking stuff up.
The SWAT team doesn't need to be there anymore. They're done. Go away.
Right. Yeah, there's no one left to shoot.
We're just looking for the investigators at this point.
Yep.
And you have people walking around doing things, whether that's by, you know, order, or whether they're just there and they're not thinking that way. But it doesn't matter. It's already been so many errors. It's been so many questionable decisions. And now we can't even do this part right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's super unfortunate because there was answers to be had if anybody else could come out and talk about what happened, though we do have a few survivors.
If we were able to get the other perspective.
Right.
Right, from people who, you know, we were able to get some sort of the perspective from the Davidians, from people who left before the fire happened. But, you know, they can only tell so much. But when it comes to the events of the climax of this whole situation, you know, there's no one to talk to.
I mean,
the only perspective we have is from the cameras on the helicopters and the ATF agents who were sitting outside.
You got a small handful of people who got out. Like David Thibodeau gets out.
Right.
Clive gets out. Did he come? No, I think he came out during the early parts of the fire. I can't remember. We'll do some fact checking on that. But it's not a big number. It's a very few people.
Yeah.
And your reward for escaping the fireball inside of Waco is you're going to get arrested and immediately tried for murder.
Yeah.
Everybody who walked out of there after, you know, that point, anybody who survived, you're on trial for murder.
After being told you're safe, we'll take care of you.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. In addition to, you know, flashback to, you know, them sending all the kids that came out to like a completely different religious denomination.
Yeah.
Separate from their families. You know, it's the whole situation. There was Davidians weren't treated like people in the aftermath.
No.
Right. They were just all put into a box.
We have our Clive update.
Clive came out during the fire.
Okay. So it's Clive, it's Thibodeau. There's I want to say like four people get out there. It's nine. Not many. Nine?
Nine.
Okay.
I don't have all their names.
Oh, that's fine. So we do have a few people that get out, and they're immediately put on trial. And what they're put on trial for is the shooting and murder of the four ATF agents in the beginning.
A month and a half before.
And it's one of those situations where no one is attempting to say, yes, I saw that person pull the trigger and shoot agent so-and-so.
Certainly, it's just assumed.
You were in there,
yeah.
So you're guilty. Which by is, association.
I mean, it's just such a perversion of every U.S. code. Like,
and
it's unprecedented.
It's not at all unprecedented, because there's been several instances in U.S. history prior to this, one at the source outside of Chicago, one at the order, which is in, I'll look, I have a little sheet on it. I want to say that's in Mississippi, somewhere in the South. I'll look it up. The government raided both of those places, and absolutely, because you were there, and when they said, hey, you need to come up and surrender right now, if you didn't do it right then and there, you were presumed guilty. There was sometimes shoot on site orders. Even if there's children, there's no attempt to say, and it's funny to me because you're trying to say that this guy, in this case, Koresh, he's brainwashed them. He has some kind of mental control over them.
Right.
So if that's true, then wouldn't you go about treating them a different way if they get out? The trials are interesting. Do we want to jump to that, or do we want to talk about what sort of forensic findings they do have as they go through the wreckage and everything?
I mean, I think the what's it called? Whatever the report was on the, yeah, I guess the post-fire analysis that the
right.
Attorney General does afterwards, pretty interesting. Just when they discover, you know, once the wreckage of the building is actually cooled down, they're able to go in and find, you know, bodies. They're able to identify some. They're not able to identify most. You know, that whole, the conclusion of their findings, I think, is pretty interesting.
And along those lines, just who has ownership of these different parts of this investigation, it gets ugly quick. Mm-hmm. So, not to promote any particular source, whatever. But Jake and I, we watched this documentary this is the first documentary I remember watching way back after this happened. It came out in 97. I'm guessing I rented it on, there's DVDs in 97, right? So maybe it's early DVD or late VHS.
Probably VHS.
It might have been online, but if it was, that would have been in those days where you have to download something for 10 hours to watch a half hour. And this one's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement. And so I kind of knew, like everybody, from watching the news, I actually read stories in Time and Newsweek. So I investigated the way you kind of did back then. It wasn't like you just jumped on the internet and had 10 million sources like now.
Right, you just had to get what you got.
But I'm watching this and just absolutely like, holy crap. It was a well-made documentary and it has a point. Like, it has a side and it's very kind of anti-government, pro-Davidian.
Nice.
But, and you know, when you have something like that, if you're a director of a documentary, you can just cherry pick whichever facts you want, whichever videos you want,
certainly,
whatever statements, recordings you want, whatever reports you want. But what I found so frustrating back then and again when we rewatched it is you're cherry picking from real things that actually happened. You're not making these up. And watching how they put this together, it was frustrating to see, hey, the Texas Rangers are here to do this certain part of the post-fire investigation. And they're kind of pushed out in the FBI. No, we got this. And the local medical examiners there to work the autopsy with the bodies. Right. And they're kind of pushed out. Like, the FBI, I don't know if the rules were as clear as what their jurisdiction was at that point. You know, like,
lines were blurry.
I feel like once it quit being a crime, because they're dead, it's not the FBI's parlay anymore.
I agree. 100%.
But oftentimes, people will use the federal resources. They'll send things to the FBI because they have more money, they have better stuff.
Right. Especially in the 90s, little place like Waco.
But this...
Not much.
This felt very much like the FBI was like, get your hands off of this. We're taking this.
Which makes no sense. It should absolutely be state jurisdiction while the FBI views from a distance, in my opinion.
Henry, you have some opinions.
A lot of
them. I love that. Another thing that, you know, all we heard, and it got worse as we went along until the fire and all that, is cult, this gun cult.
Especially in the 90s is a term.
Pedophile in a gun cult. Like, the case against Koresh in particular is made in such a way that it doesn't allow for anyone to be his follower and not be criminal. In the minds of how they're portraying it to the press.
Absolutely. It's, yeah, the way that Waco is perceived in our culture at the time, I mean, obviously I wasn't alive then, but when I talk to people about Waco, you know, there's a lot of stigma, right, around the Davidians and who they were, and it's kind of sickening, you know, whenever these conversations come up, because there are a lot of people who talk about how, like, the fire was maybe deserved, or how, you know,
right,
the FBI acted properly. And it's like, if you just take 10 minutes, just read a little bit about what actually happened at Waco, I promise if you have a soul, that 10 minutes will turn into 2 hours and your perspective will change.
Right.
Right. Like, it's such a tunnel that is worth investigating, because ultimately it's a failure of our government. It's an overreaction. And it led to the unnecessary death of probably some pretty good people.
Yeah.
But we're just in a weird situation in comparison to where most of us live.
Jake, watching that thing with me the other night, like, do you remember when they start pulling up the autopsy photos of the kids?
Yeah.
Okay, so no one showed that crap.
Yeah.
Like, that's still hard to find.
Well, so the viewers know what we're talking about. The tear gas that they threw into the building, it's so hard on your body that it will break your bones. You start convulsing so hard. So these images of these kids are kids bent completely over their backside. Backs are broken. Like, they're disfigured, and they had to live until they died. Like, they had to survive through it.
When that CS dust, when those particles catch fire, one of the byproducts is cyanide gas.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already dying from the CS.
Yep.
But now, and it's, you know, cyanide you hear a lot about. That's what, like, Nazis are taking to avoid the getting hung at Nuremberg.
It's James
Bond. It's nasty stuff. And, you know.
And they filled the place to the brim with it.
Right.
And then kept doing it. Hours.
Yeah.
6 hours they continuously gassed it.
Yep. I don't know if, I can't remember if I brought this up or not, but the FBI did one thing really, really well and that was build a giant hot box.
Oh yeah.
They when they're poking holes in it with the tanks, they are poking holes in it so that it gets more ventilation so it can flame up faster and easier. And by the time that it does catch fire, it catches fire in one end, and all of that gas turns into a fireball that then travels the entire length of the complex to the other end. And now the whole place is on fire and burning in minutes.
And this is one of the big disputed things. So we have the government says, and this is one that I had struggled with because I saw this documentary forever ago. And they have audio tape of saying, hey, pour more fuel over here, pour more, or whatever it is, right?
We need more hay, whatever.
It was fuel, pour, so it's a liquid. Okay, that sounds like they're torching their own place. That really does. Mm-hmm. What the survivors and what the guy who was the lawyer who was in there part of the time and had talked to some of the people, apparently when the tanks, and this is, again, this is, if you believe the survivors, so right. I'll preface it with that. When the tank started breaching the building, so now instead of driving over cars, they're actually breaching the building. They did move fuel around to pour into bottles to make Molotov cocktails.
Interesting.
So they could throw them at the tanks to protect themselves.
To try and defend, you know, just continuing to stand their ground.
Which is, to me, that's, oh, that makes perfect sense in that scenario.
Absolutely. Yeah. These people have been treated like animals for months. Obviously, by the end of that, they're probably not going to be thinking the most coherently in a way that, you know, from an outside perspective, we might say. But it makes sense that in that situation, they're using every resource they can to try and stay alive,
right.
Protect their family, protect their friends, the people that they've lived with. Right? And so...
And it, Thibodeau, who was, you know, he got out. He's one of those guys that in congressional testimony later describes this fireball running the whole length of this building. And, you know, it's not that the FBI is like, "Ooh, how can we make a fireball? We've seen some Stephen King movies recently." But, you know, their explanation of, well, they started fires at almost the exact same time in four different parts of the building because they had poured fuel there, and then they started shooting themselves because they didn't want to die by fire even though they lit themselves on fire. There's a lot going on,
so many
for that scenario to be 100% true. These autopsies, you know, the government claims that a lot of the people had bullet wounds. Because their premise is they lit these fires, they didn't want to die by fire, so they were offing each other, executing each other to avoid the fire. Okay?
Which, I mean, I'd have to look at the autopsy report again, but I don't remember seeing a lot of, like, gunshot wound in the head or anything like that.
And that's 100% it.
Like, there's
gunshot wounds in the chest, center mass.
Arm, leg. That's not... Like,
you shoot people like that also, when you're defending or attacking. You don't execute people that way.
And I'll say this. These people had guns. It's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's how we got
here. That's how this all started, right? They probably know how to kill someone, right? They're probably aware of what you need to do to make a bullet effective. And what they wouldn't do in that situation is shoot someone in the body or, like, you know, the thigh. Like,
yeah, yeah, let me just wing you so that you can suffer more while this is going on.
Close both eyes and just wave it randomly. Yeah. Like, that's not... I don't know. I mean, government has a lot of things that they say about this, and it's unfortunate that we don't have more objective facts to kind of sink our teeth into. But what we do have... points to the government just not really being that trustworthy, in my opinion.
So let's add to this. Okay. Jake. Henry hasn't seen this.
Yeah, I have not seen
Tell him about the FLIR.
Okay. So
FLIR.
FLIR. So the FBI has this plane that's going around the top of the building. It's just going around the area, and it's using this technology that
infrared.
Infrared, so it picks up heat. Mm-hmm. And there is several times where the tank is driving around and you can see on it that, you know, the tank heats up when it's revving up to go wherever it's going.
Right.
And then you can see gunshots coming off of the tank. You can see gunshots coming out of the buildings. And then there was something to do with when the fire started.
Yeah, yeah. One of the views, when the fire starts, how they talk about the fireball going through the building length to length, you can actually see the heat signature moving down the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
If you believe that this flare is what it is.
Right.
Okay? And so the people who made this, this is baller, okay? The people who made this documentary, they got the guy who invented this crap.
Okay.
He's one of the inventors to break down the footage.
Which, it's so beautiful that they were able, that he was still alive.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's baller.
So cool.
And then they sent it to, was it CBS? One of the big networks.
Yeah.
Who put out a report basically agreeing with the FLIR inventor guy's conclusions.
And he says that...
But then, like a month later, they're like, oh yeah, we have an additional thing to say. We're never talking about any of this again because it's sensitive. Done.
What?
I'm serious.
Hard cop out.
Are you kidding me? And they definitely got a letter. They got a letter from the FBI. Like, they had to have.
Something went down.
There's no reason for them to pull. Wow. Okay, so the FLIR imaging shows that the whole they started four fires thing, maybe not. True.
The FLIR shows one clear point where a fire started and traveled through the length of the building to another point.
And where that started is directly where that tank had just pulled out from.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
see, that changes things.
And what looks like the little muzzle flashes, and these are hard to see at regular speed.
Right.
But they do slow it down. They all look like areas right next to or right like on or in this tank. And they're going towards, the heat signatures are going out towards the building.
Yep.
There's not imagery of bullets coming, of flashes of heat coming the other way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so the one time they got anybody to speak to this, you know, their expert, the government's expert was, oh, dude, well, what you're seeing right there is a reflection.
It's just glass that's on the ground.
That's not how that works.
Right?
That's not science.
There's no reflection of infrared.
I dropped out of college and I can't even call that bullshit. What do you mean? Glass reflects light, not heat. Okay, anyway.
Right. So.
Wow.
Regardless of
silly government man out of
whatever the actually, you know, went down, this caused so many questions. And it's hard to believe the government because they've just lied or misstated or lost things.
Told us
lost things. Jake, tell us what they lose.
All right. Well, so
just wait for this crap.
Okay.
This is unbelievable.
So you asked earlier about, like, what are the things that they found going through the rubble and the...
Right, the wreckage. What,
yeah, the wreckage. There you go. And the only thing I care about is the one thing they didn't find.
What didn't they find?
They never found the front door.
What?
Because this all started...
Because someone shot
through the front door...
Right.
...at the ATF, supposedly.
Yeah. The
But when they go back, they can't find... The 8-foot steel door.
Right.
It's gone.
Wait, it's not a wooden door.
It is
not.
It wouldn't burn.
No, but they said it did.
They said it did.
They said it did.
It was an aluminum door, so it would burn. It could melt if it got hot enough, and that was a hot fire.
Sure, very, very hot fire.
Except.
There's more.
Except.
But then they proved it wasn't an aluminum door, it was a steel door.
So now
they're lying.
Look, Jeff.
Now wait, it gets better. It gets better. After they prove that the door is steel, the people bring in the door. All of a sudden, the door is here.
The door
reappears. But the people who bring it in one person carries it in. It's not even made of steel. It's not the real door. And then after that, there's nobody can ever find the door. It's gone forever.
We think it got mislabeled.
Yeah.
How do you mislabel a door? This is the door. It's the one from Waco.
This is
don't lose it.
So
all I got to say is OJ might have had a point, right? Like, if they can lose the glove, like if they can lose this giant door, they can lose the glove.
Yes, absolutely.
So this leads me to my new current conspiracy
hit me.
Of the entire Waco thing.
The door
exists.
It's somewhere.
Everybody knows it exists. It's somewhere. Personally, I think that there's some rich person somewhere who has a collection stowed away of like all the Indiana Jones things in the world.
Dude,
they have the Ark of the Covenant.
They have Hitler's jawbone.
They've got Hitler's jawbone and they've got the door from Waco.
Oh my God.
And I want to see it.
It's so weird.
Henry's head's gonna explode.
For audio listeners, I did facepalm for a solid 15 minutes. It speaks to how stupid this case is.
And that's a good point.
Respectfully to the ones who have died, it speaks to how stupid this case is that it's a door that is the thing that gets lost, right? It's the door that kind of ties things together, right? The first shot.
So when this whole thing started and we started getting into it, I had this feeling that, like, it all got kind of exacerbated because of the media.
Sure.
And I really felt like the media just made it worse. And that's completely changed. I don't think that anymore.
Really?
Now I think that the media made everyone nervous. But I think all these mistakes were going to happen anyway.
Certainly. The media made people aware.
Exactly.
At the very least.
I think that my new opinion now is that the media isn't some monster. I think the media is more like an untrained horse. If you know your way around horses, or if you know how to deal with them, I don't know anything about horses. Maybe this is a terrible analogy.
You're
already in this.
Maybe if you know what you're doing and you know how to, you know, use the media properly or manipulate it, then you can ride that horse, and it can, you know, you can ride that forever until you die.
Tool.
Or the horse will bite you, and you're screwed.
Or kick you or buck you off
or
something.
Whatever it is, I think that the media didn't really actually have that big a deal on it. And I think about, like, if Waco happened today with all the technology and stuff we have now, what would be different?
They wouldn't be able to lose the door, that's for sure.
No, they could. I think it'd be worse today.
Dude, really? No. Yeah, I think that some things would be worse, but specifically, like, the way the story comes out. Because, like, I looked back at all the big news things that happened over the last 20 years. And the last time something happened on the news where I found out about it on the news was like,
the riots?
No, it was.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this.
It was Deepwater Horizon. That oil rig that caught on fire in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last time I found out about the news from the news. Everything since then, I've learned from Facebook or from TikTok.
Right, social media.
Or social media. That's how I consume the news now. And I think that if today Waco were to happen and everyone inside the compound had a cell phone and TikTok.
Oh, dude.
I think that we would be hearing that whole side of the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there'd be videos of the door.
That's another thing. They gave them, you know, the video camera, and they let them take some videos, and they've released some of that.
Right.
They've not released, and also, like, Congress has, after, first of all, they try these guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not guilty.
None of them are proven guilty?
Not guilty.
All of them not guilty.
It was a crazy case.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that didn't happen because,
at least
they've been drugged through it.
Yeah, at least our justice system has some level of integrity, right? You still have the...
Yeah, we had to get outside of the box a little. Mm-hmm. But then there's this congressional hearings, which are... Congressional hearings are just a joke anyway.
Yes.
I wish to grandstand and make my point.
Yep.
And watching the ones from back then, I'm not the biggest fan of New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
Really?
I'm not. He's when he turns on the condescending voice, it is fingernails on the chalkboard for me.
Yeah.
And in the Waco hearings, there was a lot of that. So,
oh my God, Schumer was on the...
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Biden was in there.
Term limits. Anyway.
And so Congress is like, hey, where's the door? Hey, where's these tapes? You know, we don't have to sit here and argue about this stuff if you produce the evidence that you should have had.
Right.
Now, that kind of gets lost in the shuffle too. But when you talk about the news, here's what I think. First of all, 93 was a crazy year. Mm-hmm. 93 is Mogadishu. You have people, soldiers getting drugged through the streets of Mogadishu. That crap happened later on, and that's a bigger story to me than Waco, because that's pretty clear cut and dry. We have problems.
Right, bigger implications.
It was
Rodney
King. And 93 is Rodney King.
Yep.
Rodney. They hang that sign out the window, Rodney King, we understand you. Because that had just happened before this.
2 days before.
So we're still getting towards the trial. We're getting towards that. There's some other stuff that went on in different parts of the world. That's when Boris Yeltsin puts down the rebellion of the old hack Communist Party to finalize his control in Russia. You've got crap going on with Israel and I mean, there's lots of international stuff. And to me, the news just
Black
does
Hawk
this.
Down.
They just pivot. The minute that fire went out, the news was on to the next thing to me.
Yep, the news cycle was.
If they had chosen to stay and dig, then maybe this story looks different. But they're on to something else that's more shiny now. It's not shiny anymore.
And it's not, I mean, God, this whole thing is just crazy. I had no idea about the door. I'm still kind of caught up in that. I respect your opinion about the media, and I agree with your horse analogy, whatever, but to me, like, media coverage of Waco, like, going back, reading articles while it was happening, looking at some, like, news clips, right, it's still full of a lot of emotionally charged language, right, the word cult we've talked about several times already.
And anything about child abuse.
Right, child abuse.
Look.
I think because it's a product of 90s America, but, you know, a lot of the media coverage is trying to appeal to the more religious communities of our country, who was much more prevalent back then than they are now.
Right.
And so I don't think that the media, I think they had a financial interest, which is why, as soon as people kind of stopped talking about it, they moved on.
Right.
Right? It's pretty gross. Because then all we have to rely on is C-SPAN, and apparently Schumer and Biden asking the FBI where the door was.
Well, I mean, in the Republicans or whoever, because it wasn't strictly Republicans, Democrats.
Oh, absolutely. That wasn't, this is
but
bipartisan.
It was definitely strictly grandstanding.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, every congressional hearing.
And that's frustrating.
98% of congressional hearings are useless.
Yeah. So they, you get that drug out, and it raises some questions. I don't know that it answers any. I don't feel like we got any answers out of that.
No, I don't feel like.
And I don't even think Congress got what they want. I think they were frustrated too, but I got the sense they're like, okay, we can check this box. We investigated. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Because it's frustrating for them too, I imagine.
Well, they've got an entire country.
They do.
And so it's very easy for them to say, well, don't know enough, time to move on.
Right.
Right. Wow.
And so, I mean, that's going to lead us to, okay, now this is done, this has happened, coverage is over. It takes a few years for those investigations with Congress to kind of wash out. And then, largely, it's thought, you know, for most of America, that chapter's closed and we're done.
Certainly.
Waco's done. And I think what surprised so many people is the small little groups that adopted Waco or seized on to Waco to make it their thing. Mm-hmm. And you've got this whole kind of this union of, you got the gun rights people. There were gun rights people back then, people who individually felt like I should be able to defend myself. They can pretty, I think they have a fair reason to say, hey, Waco belongs to me in some part, because this is what could happen.
Yeah, right.
You've got the militia people, and that's often an overlap, but there are two different things.
They are.
Who are saying, hey, we need to have organized groups because of the government. We might need to have a group, collective armed resistance against the government at some point. Mm-hmm. They jump on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think Waco's about them at all. Right. Nobody in Waco's like, we have to. The whole fight the government talk didn't come until there's tanks surrounding the compound.
Right. Then everyone is like, well.
I think that, well, because I think where there is a considerable overlap between the militia people and the anti, like the apocalypse preppers, the Davidians really were. I think there's an overlap there. Okay. So I can understand why they would feel like they had a claim to Waco.
You've got Patriot groups, which this took me a while to like understand. So I hadn't thought of it this way until recently, even though I live in this world of trying to sort this crap out.
Right.
Patriot groups feel like if this was Nazi Germany and they are fighting the government or killing a cop or taking over or resisting, to them, their group is the kind that would have stopped Hitler.
Interesting. Okay.
They believe that the Nazi experience tells them they need to be willing to actively fight to prevent that kind of a excess. And that's a very different way to look at a lot of fringy groups that I had not considered quite like that before.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. Like, I mean, the way that these different groups adopt the discourse of Waco in the years following 93, like,
and I don't know, they don't, there's nothing natural about the Davidians or Waco that fits that mold.
Right, it's weird because,
but I can see how they would try and graft into it.
Also, yeah, and it's like, the religious, it's interesting because, like, while Waco is happening, there's all of this religious discourse about, you know, again, cult, but then in the years after, it's kind of like, we move away from that, right? Like, the religious side of things is kind of forgotten, and then it's more that Waco is an example of why arms need to be sort of stored in large places, why we need to be constantly observing the government and the things they do. And all these different groups kind of come to the same conclusion of the government is not necessarily trustworthy. This is an obvious example. But then the way that they kind of mobilize or catalyze their people to kind of act on that is very different, distinct, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you brought up religion. Obviously, there's going to be this religious tie-in. I think there's a way you can adopt the idea of religious freedom from Waco. That seems like a clear connection. But the people who are most adamantly against that linkage are mainstream religious people. Because if they give that platform to Waco that they're an acceptable religion, it questions their faith tradition.
Certainly.
So that's a super weird dynamic too, which forces things further out to the fringes.
Yep, and that begs the question of, you know, what's the difference between religion and cult?
Right,
there isn't one.
Which that's kind of where we started.
Right, and it's just interesting to me how differently we've talked about this. You know, now we're 30 years on.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like there's a pretty healthy mix of, you know, arms rights, religious rights, whatever. But certainly in the years after, I'm sure evangelicals had a
It's so day. Big, if you can adopt that as your martyr, as your symbol,
right,
it gives you size, it gives you notoriety, it gives you, you know, you're just more public, I guess.
Right.
A bigger voice, if you can somehow attach yourself to it. You've got libertarian people who just say, hey, I just want the government to not interject where they don't need to. That seems like a fair place. That dovetails with religion and with gun rights people.
Yep.
You've got the conspiracy theorists who have been, you know, they've been hurting since JFK.
Yeah.
And they need some stuff to chew on. And the government gave them everything they could do here. So the conspiracy theories go for days. I think one of the things that Waco did was make it possible for some of the bullcrap 9/11 conspiracies, like George Bush is in there setting the explosives on each floor of the towers. Right. Some of that stuff I don't think has credibility if the government doesn't just get slimed here. I mean, the government messes up all the time. Right. Anything that big is gonna.
But this is such a big event that people can point and say, FBI screwed up. They're corrupt. They're, you know, tagged.
Just defend it. Tell me how they did everything right.
Right.
Oh, and they're a cult. That's your only defense, and that's not defending the FBI.
It's not defensible at all. So, no, that's an interesting point. I mean, Waco is, you know, it's however many legal implications it does have and how it kind of shifted the way our government works. I think the cultural implications of Waco are some of the biggest.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's an interesting point that conspiracy theorization is exacerbated by Waco.
Yeah.
Right? Like, definitely. I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
And on top of that, I think you have that link with, because this is, now people have good enough video cameras. Mm-hmm. I can just make a documentary now.
Yeah.
I could sell it. I could put it online for free. I could make it accessible to millions, and it could look pretty professional. That couldn't happen very many years before Waco. The tech's not there. Yeah. It's not as accessible. So we've reached a new era with that, which, you know, your conspiracy people love that. That's great.
Well, certainly. It's very easy to clip anything together and, you know, pretend to be objective when you're really, you know, manipulating facts or whatever.
The one that trips me out is when the neo-Nazis or the KKK tries to dovetail in off of Waco, like, why are you here?
Go away.
Like, Waco's pretty multicultural, and who's there? Mm-hmm. And I thought about this a lot, too. And I, near as I can come to terms with, there's a linkage to that 1960s, going into the early 70s, Red Scare.
Yes.
This McCarthyism, anti-communist. You know who the most anti-communist people on Earth have ever been? The Nazis.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's one of those where if the friend of my, you know, if the enemy of my enemy is my friend things. And America does this far too much.
Far too much. It's a scary philosophy.
But somehow, you know, here we get the neo-Nazi racist angle, which is going to, you know, I think it's mostly accidental. Lots of those groups are about weapons and gun rights and that kind of violence. Lots of them don't like the government unless it suits them in the moment.
Certainly.
So they brought the racist baggage with them. I don't see how it fits in the Waco story at all.
I also don't.
But you'll have these groups that point to Waco as a turning point for them. And I guess that really leads us to, you know, our real implications are 2 years later we have Oklahoma City.
Right.
And however big Waco was, it's a lot bigger after that.
Yes.
Because if I'm Timothy McVeigh, I openly planned this. Mm-hmm. I chose the office for the FBI that was located where they would have worked Waco.
Yep.
That's the big office for that area. I chose the date. And I told you this is why I'm doing it. And that... If Waco was ever going to blow away in the breeze, not now.
Nope. Yep.
So it's going to be part of our history forever. Should have been on its own.
Should have been, but Timothy McVeigh, you know, he cemented David Koresh's legacy in a way.
And not in a good way.
Not in a good way at all.
Because now, if I want to defend Waco, it sounds like I'm trying to defend McVeigh as well.
Right.
And those...
That's not.
You know, I can't imagine Koresh and McVeigh hanging out
at all.
Like that doesn't seem like any kind of a mix.
But you know, Timothy McVeigh. You know, as you were talking about, all these different groups point to Waco as their. You know, that's, you know, it's their thing. You know, McVeigh. I'm a bit unfamiliar with his philosophy, but clearly, you know, he's waiting for something to happen.
He's right? Just a Turner Diaries guy. you know, pro-gun, anti-government in general. And, you know, he's jacked up and fired up after Ruby Ridge. I think he's one of those people that was predisposed, and all it took was an event to trigger him to go over that line.
Yeah.
And his mentality or mental deficiencies or crazy, whatever you want to call it, his personality.
Right.
Was such that he was probably going to go at some point. It didn't take a lot. And Waco was big, so.
Yeah, but Waco pushed him over the line, I guess.
And once we tie McVeigh in, it gets crazy because I was trying to make a list of things that are connected to Waco, right? That are direct descendants or maybe were tied to it before, and people that are tied to people. And I had to limit myself to 2 degrees of separation, because once you add McVeigh, it opens up a lot of stuff. And some of the stuff that I've got, you've got the guy who wrote the Turner Diaries. And he's this dude, you know, every racist in the world, in America, you know, and every anti-government person is down with this Turner Diaries, which is not well written. It's not like a, you know, Thomas Paine or something wrote this. But the guy who writes it, he's a doctor of like economics or something. He was teaching at Oregon State and writing this very anti-government, pro-violence kind of racially charged, because the whole reason in the book they're going to blow up the government is to like start a race war.
Right.
Like he's that guy who gave that whole idea of voice something you can hold and that people have latched on to ever since.
That's interesting.
You got McVeigh, you've got the several different groups had thought about targeting the Murrah building.
Before McVeigh does.
Prior to McVeigh doing it. And the people he runs in circles with, to me it seems likely that idea to target that one is something that he got in the churn from these other people who had already thought about doing it. Some of them had already made really preliminary plans, like kind of cased it a little bit, and then stuff happened and their organizations got messed up. You've got Alex Jones.
Oh, God.
No. Alex Jones is local. He's in his senior year of high school when Waco happens. He has a cable access call-in show. His career and his direction through the roof, you can trace that directly to Waco.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, and I had no idea. I didn't make that connection until very, very recently.
Oh, my God. So it's Waco's fault that Kanye went crazy? Sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but also, Alex Jones spearheaded the fundraising to pay for the church that they put on the property of Waco afterwards.
Whoa, wait, what? Wait, there's a church there?
It's a small little church. And
what denomination?
I don't know if it's still any kind of Davidian or some kind of Christian.
Probably some sort of Baptist.
But that's Alex Jones.
Holy crap.
So before he was denying that Sandy Hook ever happened.
Right. And every other opinion.
He's jumping on this. And frankly, if you're that close to it and you're already sort of leaning that way and you're surrounded by what's going on at Waco, I'm not that surprised he went the direction he did, frankly.
Oh, it makes so much sense. I mean, this explains a lot about Alex Jones, if I'm being honest.
You've got the Columbine shooting. Like, I saw one documentary where they mentioned that they were going to originally do the shooting on April 19th. They didn't. It's the 20th. But it's because a gun or one of the bombs, or they didn't have one of the things they wanted to do. They delayed their plan a day. But I went back through and looked at the transcripts of the basement tapes that the Columbine shooters made. And they talk about, we're going to go do this in like 17 and a half days. And if you do the math, that's the 19th.
Weird. I mean, not weird.
Now, there's nothing in there that says we're going to do it because of Waco or whatever. So maybe that's just an absolute coincidence. But that day doesn't get coincidences anymore.
Yeah, and also, like, everything around the Columbine shooters, it's very likely to me that something as massive as Waco would make Columbine, it would act as a sort of catalyst to drive them in the direction to do
sure.
the amount of violence that they did. I mean, that would make sense to me. I don't even think it's that much of a stretch.
And people who talk about Columbine shallowly are quick to point out that it happened on 420. Forget the drug reference. That's Hitler's birthday. So they jump on that mm-hmm. is they chose this because it's Hitler's. They didn't.
Which is a bigger assumption to me.
Right?
That's a bigger leap to make. And, I mean, I think it's more likely that it just happened on a random day.
I agree with this.
Than they did it on Hitler's birthday.
But it's just interesting, the narrative would have been completely different. Because if they would have done that on the 19th, I guarantee you, that talk would be...
Oh, it was one day before Hitler's birthday.
It wouldn't be about Hitler. Right. If it was on the 19th, it would have been about Waco most likely, I think.
Wow.
So you got all that stuff.
It's layered.
And you've got these organizations that touched the McVeigh part all over the country. So you've got these different geographic areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more than anything, I think it's technology that made Waco what it is. Because all these little independent groups that had any of those list of reasons to be kind of anti-government or pro-gun or whatever, it was hard to talk before.
Yeah.
But with the internet... And with the ability, because I've always contended, and I might catch some heat for this, that one of the things that the internet has made not great is there was a time where society regulated, because if you did stuff that was completely abnormal from everyone else, you realize you're the only one. And at some point, people go, wait, this isn't normal.
Certainly. And then nowadays.
And maybe that's bad if it's. You know, like, this isn't a great way to regulate something like I'm a homosexual. Oh, well, everybody's beating me up, so maybe I shouldn't be. I don't mean that.
Right.
But there was this level of I can look around, I have some thoughts or beliefs, but nobody else does. Maybe I question myself and have that reflection.
Mm-hmm.
But with the internet, I can find someone else who believes anything.
Very easy to find an echo chamber.
And once you get there... Now you're not self-reflecting anymore.
At all.
Now you're just drinking the Kool-Aid, though it was Flavor-Aid, that you poured.
Yeah.
So I find that pretty fascinating, too.
No, I mean, it's crazy to me. Like, I think every historical event creates a ripple in the pool of history.
Yeah.
But it seems like Waco, you know, wasn't dropping a pebble into a pool. It was dropping a freaking boulder. Right, and we're still feeling these waves.
Yeah,
even today. Right,
and you know, I think by and large, the government did learn some lessons from Waco that they did not from Ruby Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
Some things got better. Some people decided to listen to their own policies, because by the time of Waco, most of the policies were pretty good. They just weren't followed.
Right, and I mean, nowadays, I haven't heard about the FBI losing a door in at least 30 years.
Well,
you haven't been looking.
And standoffs today, they just wait. They just wait.
Mm-hmm.
There's cases where law enforcement agencies have for real waited years for somebody who's just holed up to either come out or don't. Because you're not hurting anybody if you stay in your little hovel.
But we're not going to burn your house
down. But we're not going to burn your house down and kill your kids or risk our own, you know, our own people for something like that.
Our firefighters.
But and it's interesting because that hasn't translated super well to mainstream local law enforcement with stuff like, you know, knock and smash warrants or whatever, no knock warrants. It seems like there's a disconnect there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. there's just so much, right? Like,
when we built this, the first episodes, Waco, the nexus of everything.
Yep.
And there really are so many little tendrils that whether directly or two or three degrees of separation or accidentally tie into this Waco story. And more than anything to me is how so many diverse groups have adopted Waco as theirs.
Right.
and let that charge what they do going forward. It's crazy. You've got people completely against each other that are both claiming Waco is theirs, and neither of those particular sides might have felt very comfortable at all studying the Bible with David Koresh.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's the outsider's perspective that sort of gets adopted and then just changed and morphed over the years. And, you know, now we kind of talk about Waco's implications more than we talk about the actual event itself, sure. Right? Like, you know, what, you know, Waco was bad because it shows the government, whatever, you know, but we don't really talk about, you know, I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
It's all right. Even those places that make it a cautionary tale, there's in current Waco documentaries, retrospectives.
Netflix.
Like, I didn't know if you were doing that to make a point or if you, like, were getting sick. I was freaking out over here. I'm like, sorry. Do I have to edit like that? What just
Netflix's
happened?
Netflix's Waco documentary is awful. Don't watch it.
They're making a real basic assumption
yep.
that people who watch that probably weren't from the day. That's not their target audience. And their baseline, any knowledge they have, is cult, child molester, and then we'll talk about the rest.
Right. And then a fire happened or something.
I hate that.
Yeah. It's pretty sad.
Because history, I teach my kids this every day in the high school. History is what we choose to remember and what we choose to forget. And choosing to kind of smudge out and forget about the people at Waco as people, I think has done a terrible disservice, which in many ways made it easier for all these odd fringe groups to adopt it as their thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm positive that many of the organized groups who were part of the January 6th attack on the Capitol would look at Waco as a turning point, as a seminal moment.
Certainly.
Even for groups that didn't exist yet. It has this incredible impact.
Yeah, it's like Waco has provided a sort of pedigree for, like, I don't know, anti-government organizations from both sides of the aisle to come alive. And it's so unique that any one event, you have people from completely opposite sides coming to similar conclusions. It, you know, just speaks to what a mess Waco was, top down.
And I can tell you as a, you know, just a regular citizen, if halfway through Waco, maybe after the ATF, so that goes Bryant, if the FBI comes in and says, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but I'll tell you what, the only thing coming out of this office moving forward will be the truth. Man, this probably would have looked a lot different.
Yeah, right.
Even if it ended bad. If we had the truth and we just, okay. But once you muddy that water, you muddy yourself and you muddy all of us.
Yeah.
As an American, I'm not proud of Waco, but it's...
At all. It's
not on even, any side.
It's not even a blemish or a bruise. Like, it was a gash that cut so deep that this scar...
Yeah, we're still wounded.
Hopefully, we remember the story of how we got that scar 20, 30, 40 years from now. Right, like, I hope, as awful as Waco was, as traumatizing as it was for a lot of people, you know, there's so many important lessons to learn that I don't think that there's any other historical event in recent memory that can teach us as much.
I think I could teach an 8-week college level class on Waco.
Absolutely.
I think there's plenty of material.
You could spend an entire week on the door.
And that might be a fun thing for me to design. On my road to becoming a doctor, that might be a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a great...
That's a cool elective.
That'd be a great elective course. I would take that.
Well, there you go. I have one customer.
There you go. I'm broke.
I don't understand why. You work for this incredibly profitable podcast empire.
Yeah, hey, $30. Sorry.
Final thoughts. Anybody got a parting shot? Well, that's the worst thing to say, a parting shot. Yeah, good job, Jared.
Good for us.
Okay, here's my thought.
Singular.
When they're going through the
like the congressional hearing and all that stuff, the FBI keeps saying that they never fired, that they never fired a shot.
Oh, this is terrible, dude.
And I just, wait, I don't believe that because I don't think the Branch Davidians shot their own dogs.
Dude, the dogs.
The dogs.
The dogs.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's it for Waco.
Yep.
Until the next bad thing gets tied to it. Yep. And that's it for us. We'll see you next time on History on the Dark Side.